Welcome to episode 19 of the Comfort and Workplace Podcast. On today's episode, I want to talk about the illusion of control. And this is a little game we play with ourselves to help us feel like we are in control, when in actuality, we're very far from being in control. And I'm going to cover it in three different aspects. One is I'm going to go through what I see as the control spectrum, where we can go from being hyper-structured to operating in chaos. And then I want to talk about a book that I read that I think will help us deal with the issue here, which is called Your Brain at Work. And then lastly, this is all about takeaways on this podcast. So what the heck can we do about it? So on one end of the control spectrum is hyper routine or super structured. And this is when we go overboard on structure for meaningless things as a way to compensate for not being in control at the macro level. So big picture, we're certainly not in control. And so as a coping mechanism, we're going hyper-focused on structure for small things that are meaningless in the big picture. And then on the other end of the spectrum is chaos. So operating in chaos. And this is when we fabricate chaos so that we can actually come in and save the day. So we know that deep down, we know that we're not in control of the macro. So we then go overboard on creating chaos so that we can feel like we're in control amidst that chaos. And I know personally, I've been guilty of both of these. So by nature, I'm a structured, routine-oriented person. So when I'm out of my routine, I tend to go overboard to control whatever I can. Even if it's meaningless. I remember once being on vacation and we're at the airport. We landed in Florida and vacation really, it should have begun. We should be excited. It was warm out. Instead, I was getting bent out of shape because the shuttle for the hotel was taking so long. And I guess when I mean so long, I had to wait more than 5 minutes. And you know, a guy next to me overheard and he just gently put his hand on my shoulder and he very simply said, "You're on vacation. You're on vacation." And wow, I mean, it hit me. And he was right. I mean, what the heck was I complaining about? I wasn't at work. I wasn't in the cold. I was in a nice area. I was on vacation just getting started at me. And really, looking back on it, that was really me just lashing out because I was out of my element. I was a routine-oriented person. And so for me, I was trying to grasp at controlling something. And so I was creating this illusion of control to compensate for my discomfort. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I'm a problem solver by nature. And I know at times I can give myself a phantom challenge just so I can get some focus and a sense of accomplishment. So for me, it's a diversion from the fact that I'm not in control. And oftentimes I come across this when, you know, I've got to do something that's tedious and I know I need to do it. It's something that needs to get done, but I'm not too excited about it. And it takes a lot of motivation to get going with it. And it might be, you know, something like a travel and expense report, or maybe I need to, you know, get through some invoices or some personal bills, or, you know, I've got some status report to write, and I'll wait until late at night, so it becomes this big deadline, or maybe I'll get up at 4 a.m. and I almost fabricate a tough situation so that it becomes a challenge as a way of motivating myself. And I remember earlier in my career, I was a coder, and you know, if you're a coder, you know that before you go to production, you've got to tediously go through your code, make sure it meets all of the standards, and make sure it's well documented. And I just hated that. I mean, as a coder, the challenge was getting your code to solve a problem, and the complexity that was around it, the creativity to make that code work efficiently and write it as efficiently as possible. But once that was done, and once you check that box and you solve that problem, you got over that hurdle, I mean, the excitement's gone. And so for me, I would save all of that tedious work to the end, and it was the day before the code walkthrough. And you know, I pull an all-nighter to try to get it done and bang out all the standard and formatting, and so really, in reality, all I was doing was creating this this mission in order for me to try to accomplish the unaccomplishable. And so this was me just creating a little bit of chaos in my own world so that I could come in and save the day and feel like I was in control. Because in fact, I wasn't in control. I had to do something that I wasn't too excited about doing. And so the truth of the matter is that we're really not in control of much. I mean, there's so much more out of our control than there is in our control. I mean, especially when you look at a big picture. I mean, just think about real big picture. Think about asteroids flying and potentially hitting Earth. You think about weather. You think about economics, and you think about politics, and so simply, you know, one shift one way or another in any of those could have a drastic change on our day-to-day life. So that's big picture, and you know, we don't have any control over those things, or very, very little control over them. And even when you go more micro, you think about health, you think about job security. I mean, those things, you know, we got a little bit of control in them, but really there's not too much control we have with some of those items either. And so it's very important that we do a good job controlling what we can. And to help with this, I read a book that I would highly recommend called Your Brain at Work. I think it does an excellent job of outlining how your brain works. And I'll talk about it in two different takeaways that I had from the book. First, we think about the concept of free will, and we all think that we have free will, but in actuality, on a minute to minute basis, a second to second basis, what we have is more like free stop rather than free will. So a part of our brain is called the basal ganglia, and I don't want to get too much into biology here, but it's highly efficient. It's a very small part of the brain, but it's highly efficient, doesn't use a lot of energy. And it's very efficient because it recognizes patterns. And so our brain wants to use that efficient part, and it's all about patterns. And so quickly, while we're observing things in the environment, our brain is actually reacting. And what we're able to do, because we have a frontal cortex, we're able to process that pretty quickly, and we're actually able to stop the initial reaction. And so on a second-by-second basis, we're reacting more than we are choosing to take an action. And so the reason why this is important is because our frontal cortex allows us to execute the free stop. And so our frontal cortex is like a stage, and you can only have one thing on at a time. And the frontal cortex takes a ton of energy. This is our inner monologue. This is our thought process. And so what's important is for us to do things that help free up the frontal cortex. Because what we want to do is we want to practice free stop on the important things, and let our basal ganglia recognize patterns and react for the less important things. And so if we think about the frontal cortex like a stage, and there could only be one actor on the stage at a time, that means there is no multitasking. And so we're, in fact, if we're trying to do too many things with our frontal cortex, we're actually multi-switching. And then as we're switching, we're kind of letting the basal ganglia hop in and react to patterns. So the concept is that we want to free up as much space on the stage as possible. You know, we want to slow things down. And there's little tricks that we could do. I mean, you know, creating lists, scheduling blocks of time. So similar to what I did with the coding, where, you know, I know I created this tough challenge for myself, but you know, scheduling a block of time to go through the standards is actually a pretty good thing. I'm scheduling a block of time to do creativity. So this way it allows you to focus your prefrontal cortex, that part of the brain that lets you do the creative thinking, that lets you do the free will, lets you focus that at a given point in time. And so I do want you to have some practical real world takeaways here. So I don't have this figured out, not at all, but I'm not going to use that as a cop out. Because while I don't have it perfected, I do think it's important for me to give you thoughts on how I think you can make it work. So you take, you know, knowing that as humans, we have this tendency to create an illusion of control. You know, I talked through a couple of the extremes, right? So going from hyperstructure to operating in chaos. And I think we can all say that either we've done it, those we've been guilty of those, or certainly we've seen people who act like that, right? So you we've all had those managers that are hyper-structured, or we have managers who created chaos so that they could come in and make a decision and kind of save the day. So we have to recognize that, number one, that those tendencies are out there. And then number two, having an understanding of your brain, you know, understanding that, you know, the frontal cortex is your chance to have free stop. It's your chance to have free will. And so what you want to do is try to offload as much as possible from the frontal cortex. And this means for me, there's a few tools that I would recommend: the Comfort in the Workplace tools, YMWD, the virtual bulletin board, the feedback journal. Those help get things out of your frontal cortex. So you think about the YMWD, you know, you're able to put those goals and the to-do list together, and you're able to set that up front, and you write it down on paper. It's there in your YMWD, and now you could take that out of your brain. You could take that reminders out of your frontal cortex. You could focus your attention on what is the most important thing for that day. So you have that laid out, so you could take that off. The virtual bulletin board, these are all your reminders to let teammates know something that came up, or let a manager know that something came up. So if you can get it out of your brain and into the virtual bulletin board, knowing it's there and you're going to review that with the team at some point, I think that's an important thing. Feedback journal, you know, knowing that you want to give feedback to somebody, you know, you're storing that in your frontal cortex as a reminder. Get it into the journal. Take it out of your frontal cortex. And now you could use your frontal cortex for the heavy thinking that matters most. So focus that attention. Then there's the customer correct, the WWH, and the trade-off challenge. And now, so for all three of these are us working with our team on solutions, understanding what it is that we want to try to accomplish, trying to think through where we can get tripped up, making sure that we're looking at all the different options for solutions. But the general theme here is do the hard thinking once, document it in a way that is transparent for the rest of the team, and then let people execute off of that. So now they're focusing their attention not on what the options are and what the requirements are and what the customer thinks and what might trip me up, or, you know, making sure that we have the right trade-offs in place and we're thinking through those. Think about those up front and then let your team execute, because there's going to be plenty of obstacles and roadblocks that come up. So do the hard thinking once and then allow your team to use their frontal cortex to execute. And generally, having awareness of the tendencies, you know, recognizing that they could come up, and also letting go of some of the big picture pieces. So I mentioned asteroids and weather and economics. These are things largely we don't have much control over. For me, I'm a faithful person, so I put my trust in God, and I know that in my mind that God has a plan, and that I could let go of those items, because if they're going to happen, they're going to happen. There's not much I can do worrying about them. And so I leverage my faith to help me let go of some of the big picture items. And what I would say is, you letting go of those, you're recognizing that there are some of these tendencies, you have some tools in place that can help. But at the end of the day, you also want to be there for your team. And when I say your team, it could be you, you're part of the team. It could be the person you're working for. It could be managers that are on your team. If you see people falling into being hyper-structured or creating chaos for no reason, try to help find the middle ground and try to help them find, you know, reasonable control, even if it's illusion of control, someplace in between, so that there is that comfort. And so through it, please join me in creating comfort in the workplace by respecting team members and demanding excellence.